It's good to be with you guys this morning. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm really looking forward to the men's meeting Tuesday night. So again, I want to encourage all you guys to come out and be a part of it and bring someone. That would be awesome, you know, invite at least one or two other men in your life, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. But I think it'll be a good time. I'm really praying that we'll see some men get saved Tuesday night, give their life to the Lord, and so I'm excited about that. So let's do that. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come up and brag on you and teach the word. And we just love you, Lord, and thank you for my church family here, and thank you for what you're doing in this body of Christ. We just love you. Thank you. I ask you to bless this time we have together, and it'll be fruitful. Let us grow closer to you and learn more about you, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And let's read. And when you pray, this is Jesus talking, it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, Jesus says, therefore, pray. And as we all know, the Lord's Prayer. Here we go. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it goes on with a little doxology there. It says, For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen. Can you get amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll tell you kind of a funny story. Some of you might find this funny. When I was a kid, I played baseball from little 4 or 5 years old. I love baseball. I love it today. I played in Little League, the 9 through 12. Played in high school, right on through. Played baseball and loved it. And some of you might remember these days. I mean, I don't know if you can even do it today's times. But when I was a little kid, in 9 through 12. And again, I grew up in church. I was the crazy little kid that didn't pay attention and didn't really care kind of thing. I'm sorry, but I was. I was rebellious and all that. Why are you laughing at me, Dave? But yeah, I'm just being honest, And here's the crazy thing about this. I really do remember the day that I realized that the Lord's Prayer was actually in the Bible. Because I thought it was just a baseball prayer. Anybody remember that? My coach, loved the Lord. And we would always say this Lord's Prayer before every baseball game. We'd huddle up and hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer. And I had no idea it was in the Bible. I just thought it was a baseball prayer. Isn't that weird? But I remember somewhere around high school or somewhere, and some preacher preached a message out of the Bible on the Lord's Prayer. And I went, that's in the Bible. Wow. Go figure that, It's weird how you miss things. But anyway, it was funny to me. So we're moving into some people, especially Catholics, our Catholic brothers and sisters, and a lot of people in the Protestant denominations, mainly Methodist and Episcopal, and they call this a season of Lent, right? You know, familiar with that? Lent is like, you know, that 40 days that they see before, you know, the Good Friday before Easter. So we're going to really spend the next few Sundays talking about prayer and fasting and repentance or maybe penance. You know, we're going to talk about that. And we're gonna take the Lord's Prayer and kind of go through it until we get to Good Friday, until we get to that Easter, leading up to Easter. Is that all right with you guys? I just feel like the Lord wants us to do this. We're going to have an Easter sunrise service. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer. But starting today until Easter, we're gonna get into talking about the prayer and fasting and repentance and maybe penance. And so let's do that. Matthew 6 and 9. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I love the song, "Holy is his name." That word hallowed means holy. It means holy and righteous and worthy. So hallowed be thy name, God. It says Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are now children of God. He is our Abba, Heavenly Father, and he loves us with an everlasting love. His mercy endures forever. He is a good, good Father." You want to play that? I'm going to play a little video for you. I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to play this little video for you. Ready? The foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I have been adopted into the family of God. And if you're a born-again Christian today, you have been adopted into the family of God. We are children of God, and sometimes we can get caught up in the troubles and craziness of the world that we forget the simplicity of the gospel, that we are children of God, and that God loves you, and that he is a good, good Father. John 1, 10 through 13, this is a scripture. It says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, guys, Jesus in this Lord's Prayer, Jesus started out the Lord's Prayer giving us an example of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can have an intimate, loving relationship with Almighty God, the Creator of everything, lives inside of me, inside of you. Sometimes people come into counseling and they ask me, they say, you know, I say, "Well, what do you really want?" He said, I want to get close to God. And I know it's a figure of speech, it's a play on words, but sometimes it tells me a person's belief system. When they say, "I want to get close to God," what I ask them is, "How close do you want to get? 100 yards? 50 yards? 10 feet? Tell me." And they always look puzzled, like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you just told me you want to get close to God." So sometimes in our belief systems, we think that God is over there, way over there somewhere, and that we've got to do some kind of works to get closer to him. And again, I know it's a play on words, and sometimes I know what people understand, you know, they think they understand. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, and I always qualify if, right? If you're a born-again Christian, and if is a big word, you know. If worms toted 45s, birds wouldn't mess with them. So, if is a big word, you know. So, if you're a born again Christian, you place your faith in Christ, you are a child of God. He gave us the right to become children of God. Jesus starts out this Lord's Prayer saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Listen, some of you may really need to hear what I'm about to say. God is not mad at you. Let that sink in. Some of you need to hear that. God is not mad at you. God is not up in heaven with some big hammer or a lightning bolt waiting to just punish you for every little mistake you make. Yes, I understand the scriptures. The Bible teaches that God disciplines those He loves. And yes, I know that the Bible also teaches that we reap what we sow. Amen? I understand that balance of that. But sometimes based on how we're raised, based on the certain even religion or denomination that we come up under, it can create this belief system that God is mad at you. God is disappointed in you. And I'm telling you guys, that is a false belief. So we're going to get into the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection as we flow along in the next couple of Sundays. And we're going to talk about propitiation. In other words, it's propitiation has to do with Christ and the reason He died on the cross, that He took the punishment for us, that we don't have to punish ourselves anymore, either physically or emotionally, psychologically, or anything. That Christ was punished for us. Yes, we're guilty of our sins. But we're going to get into that. But let's be clear, very clear, that we have victory in Jesus. That God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. That He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and you and you and me. He loves us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. If you look up that word perish, it means to wither, to decay, to rot, to eventually become nothing. It's not God's will that we perish. It's not God's will that your marriage perish. It's not God's will that your family unit perish. It's not God's will for us to perish, to live in anxiety. It's not God's will for us to live in fear and worry. God said He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? He is our heavenly Father. And He said He would never leave us and never forsake us. Even Jesus referred to Him as Abba Father when He was praying by Himself at Gethsemane. You know, Jesus was going along with His disciples. He was hanging out with them. And He told them to hang out right here. And He took three of His closest guys and they went up even further up. And He said, you three, y'all hang out right here. I'm going to go and I'm going to get alone with the Father. And then those knuckles brains fell asleep on Him, didn't they? You know, and He was like, "What are you falling asleep on me for? Could you not tarry 1 hour?" Matter of fact, that's a great book if you guys like to read. It's by an author named Larry Lee. It's called "Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour?" It's probably about 20 or 30 years old. Mark 14:36, Jesus says, Abba, Father, everything is possible with you. And Jesus says, take this cup from me. So Jesus, even in the flesh, was kind of struggling with this whole thing. He knew that he was getting ready to go and die on the cross and be beat and whipped and tortured and, right? And spiritually speaking, he was about to take on the sins of the whole world. Your sins. You were not even born yet. We were not even born yet, but Jesus was about to take on the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He knew that. And he was like, Father, is there any other way, you know? Is there any other way? Oh. But then Jesus, right away, he said, what? This is not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was obedient to the mission because he loved us. So I have a question for you. As we talk about Heavenly Father, about Abba Father, and there's different schools of thought about that word Abba. You know, some theologians will say that it means, you know, daddy or papa. You know, but some theologians say that's not really quite accurate. I don't want to argue and get in a, you know, about that, but it does mean Father. So I got a question for you. How do you see your Heavenly Father? On a personal level, how do you see your Heavenly Father? You see, in my experiences in working with, I would say, thousands of people, hundreds and hundreds, over thousands of people over the years in counseling and ministry, I found this to be true. That most people see our Heavenly Father as they've seen their earthly father. Some of you have maybe heard this before, but if you haven't, I would encourage you to really pray about this. Jesus starts out in the Lord's Prayer as Heavenly Father. Abba, Father. How do you see your Heavenly Father? Is he trustworthy? Because most people see our Heavenly Father as our earthly father. So here's some questions for you. Is he trustworthy? Was he trustworthy? Is he hard or mean? Is he a taskmaster? Is he abusive? Or is he gentle and kind? Is he faithful? Is he firm but fair and just? Is he a protective? See, some of us had good role models as fathers growing up. Other fathers did the best they could with what they had to work with and had good intentions. And others did not have a role model as an earthly father. This makes a difference in some people. In most people, men or women. So when we talk about our loving Father, our Abba Father, we need to consider this. See, guys, with prayer time, With prayer time, as we're going to talk about over the next three or four Sundays, with prayer time and the simple prayer of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to break it down, with good Bible study, with prayer time and good Bible study, and then fellowshipping with other believers, we grow closer to our Heavenly Father. We learn about Him. We learn that He is faithful, that He is trustworthy, that He is firm and fair and just. And through the Word of God, He will spank us, right? The Word of God is definitely, you know, sharper than a two-edged sword dividing bone and marrow. And the Word of God corrects us and loves us and guides us and directs us and gives us comfort. And as the Holy Spirit, we'll get to know the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll get to know Him. And as we come to Him with childlike faith, then He becomes our Abba Father. As some will say, He becomes that loving Father that we can hop up in His lap and have a conversation with. And He's also the Father that will discipline us and correct us when we're wrong and when we sin. And the Holy Spirit's there to guide and comfort us. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us daily. So they work in beautiful harmony while we're here on this earth. Amen? So my question is, how is your relationship with our Heavenly Father? How do you see God? I want to encourage you. Encourage you today that He loves you. And He's a good, good Father. And as we go through this Lord's Prayer, understand the simple prayer of Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. He's a holy, holy, righteous God. And He loves you on an intimate level. And He wants to be your Heavenly Father. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this time. I thank You for the study that we're going to do over the next 2 or 3 weeks as we grow close to You, as we learn about a little bit more about the Lord's Prayer. Thank You, Jesus, for giving us the model. Oh, it's so simple, Lord. We complicate it. I'm sorry that we do complicate it sometimes. Lord, I ask that You'll speak to the ones today who may have been raised in a fear-based, mean, ugly religion. Lord, I ask, Lord, that You'll set them free. You'll speak to their heart, Lord, and know that You love them and You care about them and You have their best interests at heart and that You are trustworthy, that You are loving, You are patient and kind. But yeah, You do correct us when we need it. Or You are a good, good Father, Lord. And we love You. Lord, if there's one today that does not know You as their Savior, Father, I ask that they'll come down to the front and pray with me and they can give their life to Christ right now. Yes, Lord, we are ministers of reconciliation and that is the most important thing of all, is that people come to You and find salvation. Or if there's one here that needs special prayer, they'll come down and talk with us. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.